Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. Dr. Doug, we have touched on the topic of birds' wings in other conversations we've had, and I think it might be a good time to do a kind of 101 on how do you take care of different birds' wings, and in particular, clipping them. But wings, I imagine, are very important to the birds themselves, right? So we have to be good guardians of their wings as well as the rest of them. What are the things that come to your mind when you think about wings of birds?
Well, I think, you know, there's several topics that this brings up. And before I get into things like wing management or wing trims, I just want to bring up the concept of whether or not you should actually trim a bird's wings.
Excellent.
Because there are two camps. There are some camps that say you should never, ever trim a bird's wings because it's natural for them for the fly. And there are actually people who have pet birds and let them free fly.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just, you know, the canary or the cockatiel flying around the house. I'm talking about people that have large birds like macaws and cockatoos and literally let them fly around their neighborhood.
No kidding.
And
wow.
You know, you have to remember it's never really a good idea to release a non-native species. And if one of these birds were to get out, it's very dangerous for the animal because they're not used to the predators in the area. But B, if a male bird gets out and runs into a female bird, then you could end up with more birds and you could end up with non-native species in the environment. And a classic example of that are the Quaker parrots, which are now pretty much all over the world. You know, they're not from North America, but you're finding them in North America. You're finding them in Europe. We have them here in the Florida Keys. These are all birds that got out and established colonies. So,
wow.
Again, that's a whole nother show that we can talk about. But anyway, so that there is a camp that says, no, birds should be allowed to free fly. It's a natural behavior. Then there's the other camp that says, I don't want my bird flying away, which I understand because the bird flies away, it gets scared, it gets lost. You may never get it back. So then that leads to how do we trim their wings? And I'll tell you what, Tracy, there are as many ways to trim a wings as there are you and I have friends.
No kidding.
And if you ask all the different experts, they all have their way of doing things. And if you don't do it their way, it's wrong. So I'm not going to pick one particular way to do it. I'm just going to kind of discuss some of the different options that we have available. Let me just say also, too, when it comes to wings, you know, wings are very important, and they're living structures because they're bones, they're muscles, there's tendons, there's nerves in there. And then the feathers themselves are kind of a keratin, like a fingertip. They're like a modified. So the feather itself doesn't have any feelings in it, has no nerves in it. If it's a
I just interrupt for 1 minute and ask you what bird is talking in the background?
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
It's got contractors here right now, and they're working. And I also have my bird in the back who's talking to them.
Oh my god! Okay, I think it's wonderful, but I thought that's definitely a bird, and I think
that's
show about birds' wings and have the bird talking is perfect.
Yeah, that's Simon. She's my baby. She have had her for 30 years. She's a green
macaw. Oh my god!
And I do not trim her wings.
Let's just talk the personal. So you don't trim her wings, but you don't let her free fly in the neighborhood.
She doesn't free fly. She doesn't. Yeah, and she could fly if she wanted to. She has never flown. I've had her 30 years, and I do carry her with me outside. She stays on my hand. I don't put her on my shoulder. And if I'm working in the garden, she'll sit on a perch and she'll talk to me while I'm out working in the garden.
Oh, my God.
Do I worry about her flying away? She could potentially fly away, but she's never flown in 30 years. So maybe I'm being stupid, but I don't know that she would.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And do you not trim them because there's no need?
There's no need. She doesn't fly. You know, she's never flown, so she does not have well-developed flight muscles. So if she were to take off and fly, I don't think she would get very far.
Right. She'd look pretty awkward.
You know, there's always a chance she could fly up into a tree, and then I might have a hard time getting her back, but I think she would come right back to me.
Okay.
Everybody has their personal preference. I like looking at her with a full set of wings, and like I said, she doesn't leave me. But that doesn't mean that some birds won't leave, because you certainly see advertisements on Facebook, social media, newspapers, radios all the time about somebody's bird who flew away.
Oh.
And again, if it gets away, there's a good chance it could get hurt and you may never get it back.
And you said something about them getting lost. I didn't know that all birds had a homing sense like a homing pigeon, do they? I mean, in theory, would they know where home was if they wouldn't, right?
No, because if they get out and they've never been in the neighborhood, everything looks the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't just assume that because they fly away, they're going to know exactly how to come back, because if they did, then this wouldn't be a conversation.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, in my veterinary office, we get phone calls, people whose birds flew away, and please, if somebody brings a bird in or the animal control or anything like that, you know, Fish and Wildlife, they're always looking for loose birds.
So you live in the Florida Keys, where year-round a bird could, you know, you wouldn't think it was cruel to have the window open, but probably not wise unless
you know.
It's
what's
like
really
Simon.
Interesting that you bring that up, because, and this is something I do worry about with my bird, is we have a lot of raptors here, which are like hawks and eagles and things like that.
Wow!
And people in the Keys, a lot of us don't have air conditioning, and we just leave our windows wide open. And I've had 3 or 4 occasions over the years where a hawk has flown into somebody's house and grabbed their small bird right off a perch and then carried it out.
Knock it off.
So I do worry about my bird being outside, and I do not bring my bird outside during hawk season, because we have a season when the hawks migrate through. So she does not go outside during the hawk season, because even though she's a big bird, a hawk will easily take her.
Wow. It's a jungle out there. And I do mean that quite literally, even though we think it's all under our control. This is so interesting.
Nature can be a harsh mistress, right?
Yeah. It's so interesting. Okay, now we're going to talk about clipping the wings for those who think, I guess the person who would want to do it was one who feels their bird is in jeopardy of escaping. Is that true? I mean, if you lived in a house and the doors and windows are always shut, and the bird has a big cage, we're talking about a larger bird, and it has a perch as well. Is there a danger?
It takes a nanosecond for the perfect storm with the bird sitting out on a perch and somebody walking through the front door and the door being open for 30 seconds and something scares the bird and it flies out the door and boom, you've lost your bird.
Got it.
So first off, before I talk about actually how to trim a wing, let me just bring up the point that if you've never done it, have somebody teach you how to do it. Have somebody show you first, because it's actually really easy. But if you don't know what you're doing, you could hurt the bird, you could break a wing, or worst case scenario, you know, birds don't have a diaphragm, so they breathe with the muscles in their chest. And when you're holding the bird, we have a tendency to want to hold it tight so it doesn't wiggle, right? Well, if you hold a bird tight and it doesn't wiggle, it can't breathe and it'll suffocate.
Oh,
and I have seen more than one occasion people holding birds to do a wing trim or a nail trim or a beak trim, not concentrating on the bird itself, just concentrating on what they're trimming. Next thing you know, the bird suffocates and dies.
Oh, Doug.
So, again, it really, if you're going to do it, have somebody who knows what they're doing teach you how to do it properly. Then it's safe, because it's a really simple procedure. But just have somebody show you how to do it the first time.
Now, would this somebody be your vet, even if it's not an exotic vet?
It could be a vet. It could be a professional bird aviculturist.
Okay.
It could be a pet store that's, you know, does grooming.
Got it.
There are a lot. Again, okay, it's not rocket science. It's fairly easy, but there's just a couple tricks you have to learn so that you don't make a mistake, because you certainly don't want to take your little bird out that you love for something elective like a wing trim and then have it die in your hands because you held it too tight.
Too horrible.
And it does happen. All right, so quick anatomy on birds. If you take a bird's wing and you stretch it out, and I'd like everybody right now to take their arm and stretch it out in front of them.
Okay, doing
it. And you have your shoulder, okay?
Yep.
You have your elbow, you have your wrist, and then the thumb, if the thumb is pointing up on your hand as you're holding your arm out, they call that a little appendage on a bird called a lula, A-L-U-L-A. And that would basically be about where their wrist is, okay? So the primary feathers go from the very tip of the wing all the way up to where the wrist is. From the wrist to the inside of the elbow, those are called the secondary feathers. Now, there's another set of feathers that covers the base of all those primary and secondary feathers called the coverts. And they're kind of the intermediate size feather that runs down the middle of the wing. So we have primaries, secondaries, and then the coverts. And the primaries go from the tip all the way up to the wrist, and then from the wrist down to the shoulder are the secondaries. General rule of thumb is you never trim the secondary feathers, okay?
Got it.
Now, I want to just throw out a little caveat here, and that is there is no one perfect trim for every species of bird. For instance, a cockatiel, which is a small-bodied, light bird with fast wings, needs a completely different trim than my macaw, which is a big, large, heavy-bodied bird, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, a large macaw, a lot of times when we trim the wings on some of the bigger birds, people want to have what's called a show cut or a tuxedo cut.
Oh my God, there's a name for it?
Yes, because that way when the bird perches, it looks like they still have a full set of feathers. And that's very important for places where they're on display, like a zoo or any place where birds are out in the public view. Because then when they're sitting on the perch, it looks like they have all their feathers. And what we do with a show cut or a tuxedo cut is we're trimming all of the primaries except for the very first two on the tip of the wing. So we leave the outer two feathers, and then we trim the primary feathers. And there's anywhere between about 8 and 12, depending on the species, primary feathers on any given bird. So basically we're trimming from the third feather in to the wrist, and we cut the shaft of the feather underneath the covert, which is that middle layer of feathers. And the reason we cut it under the covert is because then you don't see the bare shaft, and it looks really nice. And then when the bird sits on a perch and folds its wings back, the two longer feathers on the end of each wing will crisscross over their tail, and it looks like, hence the tuxedo cut, it looks like they have a full set of wings. And it looks really nice. And with the large-bodied birds, like the macaws and the cockatoos, that works fine. They can't fly with that. Some people will go ahead and take their scissors and just cut a straight line, starting with the outer feather, and cut it all the way up to the wrist. And that's just a straight cut. And it, to me, it looks really ugly. And it certainly they can't fly with that. With some of the heavy-bodied birds like the Amazons and the African greys, you actually don't want to take all those feathers because they're such heavy-bodied birds. If they were to jump off their perch, they have no lift at all.
Oh, my God.
And they drop like a rock, and they can split their chest muscle open.
Oh, goodness.
So with those, you only want to take a few feathers. So that's what I'm saying is there is no single best cut for every single bird. And then the flip side of that is you get a little bird like a budgie or a cockatiel, and if you were to cut all the feathers, all the primaries off from the wrist to the very tip, a lot of these guys can still fly. They just have to flap their wings harder and faster.
Really?
So in some of those birds, you do take the secondary, some of the secondary. So what I always do when I'm doing a wing trim, or if I'm teaching somebody, is I do what's called a test flight. So I typically, like, let's say with a cockatiel, okay, a real common pet bird, wonderful birds, very friendly, great personalities, but you certainly don't want them flying away, because if it flies away, chances are you'll never get it back.
Correct.
So with those birds, unless the people, and by the way, I always specifically ask the owner, do you have a pattern that you like? And then I do what they want. And then if something goes wrong, it's on them. But, you know, a lot of times people have this preconceived notion, this is what I want. Okay, fine. You're the client. You're the customer. I'll do exactly what you want. If they come to me with a cockatiel and they say, I want a show cut, I typically don't recommend it, because if you leave the outer two feathers on a cockatiel, I can almost guarantee you they're going to fly off. So what I usually do with a cockatiel is I do take all of the outer primary feathers, and then I hold the bird about a foot off the ground, and I kind of just gently toss it in the air about 2 or 3 inches and let it flutter down. If it drops straight down, that's enough. It's not going to go anywhere. If it flies up to the table, you need to start taking the secondary feathers. And I usually take one at a time on each wing, and I'll just keep doing that with my test flights until I see him flutter down and have no lift. Now, I want to bring that up, too, about doing bilateral cuts, because, A, it looks nicer, and, B, if the bird flaps, it flaps evenly, and will generally there's enough lift that it'll glide down, but it can't fly up. I do know some people that advocate trimming only one wing, and aerodynamically it makes sense, because if you only trim one wing, even if it's a cockatiel, they can't fly because they start to flap and they basically flip over. Well, obviously, that's dangerous. So
yes, it's a crash.
I'm strongly against doing a single wing trim. There are a lot of people that do it. I don't think it's a really good idea. I think you should do bilateral trims, and you should do the bilateral trims in a stepwise fashion based on the type of bird that you're dealing with.
It helps a lot. And to me, I keep thinking, why would I try to do this myself? I mean, this seems like something certainly that a veterinarian or a good pet store owner who is, you know, very well versed in birds, or I guess a groomer would fall in that same category, should do it. I mean, I think, I don't know, is it to save money that people do it, or the pride of doing it themselves? Oh, I mean, I was the person that
again,
groomed.
Again, it's not difficult. And actually, you can condition a bird to trim their wings without even being held. Like, for instance, I don't trim my bird's wings, but I do trim her toenails because they grow and they're really, really sharp. And I've trained her to hold up her foot and let me trim each nail one at a time, and then I give her love and treats.
Oh, my
and
God.
So
that's
not
so
a stress.
Cool. I would love to see a video of that. That is adorable. That would be great. We should, if you have videos, some of these things are really a picture's worth a thousand words. I'd so cool.
Be happy to share that with you. I know you talked to Dr. Marty Becker about fear-free.
Yes.
And that's extremely important with every animal. And, you know, there's no reason to have to take a bird and wrap a towel around it and have it scream and yell while you trim the feathers. You know, you can, and also there's no law that says you have to trim all the feathers.
Exactly.
All the feathers at the same time.
Yep.
So you gently, you know, you start out by touching the bird's wing and you give it a treat, and then you pet it and you give it to eat, and then you grab the wing or gently hold the wing, and then you extend the wing, give it a treat, stop. And so it's shaping the behavior.
Right.
Next thing you know, you extend the wing, and then you take a feather and you just grab it and kind of shake the feather with your finger a little bit, but don't cut it. Give them a treat. Now all of a sudden they're associating you handling their feathers and their wings with positive reward. So then you extend the wing, you take the feather, you snip one feather off, good bird, give them a treat. The next day you do two feathers, good bird, give them a treat. Next thing you know, they're holding their wing out.
I love it.
They let you trim them.
I love
and
it.
So every animal can be handled that way. And, you know, most animals are incredibly food driven. And if you take a situation which would normally be stressful or scary and turn it into a positive situation, it's better for the bird, it's better for you.
Yeah, we don't need to get sweaty armpits.
It's also better for the owners when they see when I'm gentle with their bird.
Yeah, and we don't need to get sweaty ourselves in anxiety that we're overdoing it or let's get this over with. I think the other idea, just in wrapping up, is that you can eat the elephant one bite at a time. You can do a feather today, a feather tomorrow. There's no rush.
Absolutely.
So I love the idea of breaking it up and knowing when the bird is getting a little anxious or agitated, you just stop. That's enough for today.
Absolutely.
A little bit more the next day. Last question, how often, or do they grow individually more or less? How often does a
really
wing trim need to be repeated?
Again, every bird is different, and generally the birds will molt their wing, their primary feathers, twice a year. But they don't molt them all at once. The only bird that I know of that does that, it's called a catastrophic molt, is the penguin, where they literally molt all of their feathers at the same time, and then they regrow them all right away. And it's amazing to see in the wild. But anyway, birds don't do that. They generally drop one primary on each wing every 6 months. So essentially, every year, each wing is replaced, you know, with new feathers. So most birds I recommend, especially if you take your bird outside a lot, check it every 3 months and no less than every 6 months to have it trimmed and just trimmed up. If you stay on top of it, it's real easy.
And that feather does not grow back, the one you've trimmed. At
no,
some point,
it grows
it molts.
A new one. Yeah, the shaft will slough off or fall out when they molt, and then they grow a new one behind it.
But it's not like like Simon's toenails where that you have to keep trimming them because they keep growing like a dog
right.
or a
yeah,
cat.
Yeah, that's a continuous growth of a single tissue, whereas a feather is a new tissue every time they replace. And one other thing I want to add is when the new feather grows in, it's called a blood feather because that feather is alive and growing. Basically, once it reaches its full length, the blood supply stops. That's when you trim it. You never want to trim a feather that's got blood in the shaft. And you can see it because most shafts are clear.
Yes.
And blood feathers, they have a clear bluish red tint to them.
Wow.
So you don't want to cut those because they'll bleed.
Okay, folks, I'm just going to say, unless you have Dr. Doug in your neighborhood and he's willing to show you this and then you feel confident, which are two separate issues, why don't you just go to your vet or go to the wonderful pet store where maybe you get supplies for your bird and let them do it. I don't know. There's some things that are good to be a do-it-yourselfer and other things I think let the people do it that have done it so many times that it's second nature to them. Dr. Doug, thanks for sharing all this and I definitely want to share that video of Simon holding his foot out to have his nails clipped. That would be so delightful to share. Thank you so much.
Yep, I'll do it. Take care, Tracy.
Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From Zubed Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.